When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100 megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome sales event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome sales event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Welcome back to the second guest show, our Christmas Eve edition of the second guest show. Mike Dettelia along with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert, at the Silver Slipper Casino right here in Hancock County, Mississippi. Come on by and visit us. Bobby J and I will be on until 8 o'clock tonight. He's normally here each and every Monday night, but because of Monday Night Football, he's here tonight, Tuesday night, Christmas Eve, Mr. Dave Hilbert from the Silver Slipper. Dave, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon. I know Bobby didn't come too close for that score. Dave tells me when I sent him the score, he's like, man, that's a big spread. I said, lucky it ain't me. I'll give you one even longer than that.
Well, when I'm watching the game with Steve, it is 27-0 before the final score. I go, I think the Packers have 27. The Saints, I thought they'd have at least 13. No, we didn't have nothing.
Nothing.
We didn't have nothing. No.
So nobody won here yet last night on that score.
No, that shows you anytime you're a double-digit underdog, 13.5, 14.5, Mike, and it's that, and then, no, the Saints have come close to covering.
What? Yeah. The only time they came close was when they kicked off. That was the closest they came.
Yeah. Oh, man.
No, and it's amazing. We're playing the Raiders, and the Raiders are
one-point favorite.
The Raiders are a one-point favorite in the Superdome against the Saints, and the Raiders are sorry. I don't think they're as bad as the Giants, but the Raiders aren't good.
They ain't too much better than the Giants. Yeah. But look how much trouble the Saints had with the Giants. That game almost went into overtime.
Well, we had to block the field goal.
It wouldn't be for Brian Brisset. We'd have saw more lousy football.
And Mike, somebody says that you may have the scoop on who's going to be the next head coach.
No. Yeah,
I don't know about that. And if I did, I wouldn't tell you.
Yeah.
All I know is I'm going to go on record and say Coach Vrabel. Why I like Coach Vrabel? Because he would bite the kneecaps like Coach Campbell with the Detroit Lions. If you look at Coach Vrabel, you look like, okay, that dude played in the NFL. You know how you some coaches, and you look at him as like, I don't know. They know the game, but they didn't play. You know, I'm telling you, this day and age, I think players respect coaches that have played the game and they know what the hell they're doing. That's why, Dan Campbell's like E.F. Hutton. When he speaks, they listen. And what he's doing, I think Coach Vrabel's that kind of guy.
Okay, Mike McDaniel with the Dolphins. We got a guy that works at the station, Cullen Steele, that's a little bit skinnier than him. But that's who Mike McDaniel looks like.
Mike McDaniel, I mean, he looks like some woke coach. I mean, I don't know what the Dolphins, the Dolphins, I don't think he's going, the Dolphins ain't going to win nothing. He looks too politically correct to me. He looked like that.
No, all righty, on that note, Dave, I'll let you, what's going on here?
We got a lot going on. Tomorrow, we have our Christmas cash hot seats starting at 5 o'clock every
Okay, explain me what the hell is that.
Well, if you're sitting at a slot machine with your card in there, we have the computer automatically randomly picks one machine, and one of my staff goes up there and hands you $250. And we're going to do that every 15 minutes from 5 to 8:45, and then at 9 o'clock, the person wins $1,000. So, Christmas Cash Hot Seats. And then, on this weekend, we have Slidell's number one band, Witnesses, playing.
Witness?
Witness. Can I get a witness? And we get
can
the,
I get a witness?
And we're giving away that white Mustang outside. I'm giving that away Saturday at 9 p.m. And also, too, our new GM wanted to give an early opportunity to, if you don't want to celebrate New Year's Eve on Tuesday, come on out here on this Saturday, and we're going to be doing a countdown at midnight as well. And then on New Year's Eve, we have a really good band from Bay St. Louis, Joni Compretta and Baytown Groove.
Okay, so, Dave, I saw you got interviewed by the new GM online, but also, hey, we want to wish you, I know it's a day late, but a happy birthday to Dave Hilbert.
Oh, man, thank you.
He turned 45 years old yesterday.
45 years old, that's
20,
right.
20 no, years ago. But
he might look 45, but he's 65.
Yeah, no, I had my sons over for a Saints party last night. Oh, man. Only good thing was a cake.
No, Dave's a good-looking man.
Oh, man, appreciate it.
He's like Coach Moore. He's aged as well.
Just don't say all my friends are dying.
Like, yeah, man. No, don't call me.
That was a good one, Bob.
Me woke either, Bobby.
Oh, man. No, you ain't woke.
But we want to wish everybody a Merry Christmas from the Silver Slipper and a Happy New Year.
Dave, also to tomorrow here.
Oh, yeah, that's
at the
right.
Blue Bayou and also at
that's
the Buffet.
That's right. And the Buffet tomorrow starting at 11 o'clock, Dungeness Crab. So it's a rare treat because nobody else on the coast has them. So but we stashed, squirreled some away, and we have some for Christmas Day.
At the Blue Bayou, hopefully you got a restaurant.
Yeah,
to get in a
reservation.
There.
Exactly right.
Dave, you know how y'all it didn't work out to continue the oyster bar, okay?
Right.
But he's still complaining.
But I can tell you, at Blue Bayou, if y'all can make – just send that gumbo over to Blue Bayou because I'm telling you,
I'm going to give you Bobby's address. Send it over to his
house. You can charge people extra for this because it's the only gumbo I ever ate that had, like, where's the meat? No, the meat is there. Had lobster in the gumbo.
Yep, lobster.
And it was unbelievable. Lobster.
No, we ain't
crab,
that like that on the
shrimp,
bayou.
Seafood gumbo. So I'm telling you, you got to tell Blue Bayou, you know, you try to tweak the menu, you can charge people extra. They would probably buy that.
Absolutely.
I know I would get a bowl.
Well, you know, you got to get it at your restaurant, Bobby. It's your Cajun can.
Hey, Dave, that's not a bad idea. You're giving him. He always want to give you a tip. Now you give him one.
But we ain't a damn casino. We ain't that rich.
I'll have to talk to Big Mo about that.
I would gladly have that.
You go to the restaurant, you can see his Heisman, man. Sit right up in front.
You know what I do have up front? And I tell people this. When I won NFL Comeback Player of the Year in 1991 when I beat out Bernie Kosar, it was right before they started the ESPYs. It was called the Victor Awards. And I was on the Superstation in Las Vegas. And I got this trophy, I never forget. That means a lot to me because when I came back, you know, when you count it down and out and you went comeback player of the year, and you know, you ever heard of Mark Messier, you know, with the New York Rangers?
Yep.
I was sitting at the table with Wise, we're all there. And you know who gave me that award when I won NFL Comeback Player of the Year? Vanna White.
Ooh.
Oh, so Vanna White. So all of a sudden, and I've said this story before. My mom's dad, my grandpa Galliano, Landry Galliano.
They all watched that on TV.
And he used to like watch Wheel of Fortune all the time, but he liked boxing and horse racing more than football. So all of a sudden, I come back home, and he didn't care how many touchdown passes or what I did and all that. He goes, man, you know Vanna White? And that's all he wanted to do. He goes, yeah, we hung out in the green room and, you know, and had a conversation. I go, she's little. She's a little bitty lady. But he was so infatuated with Vanna White because every night after work, he'd watch The Wheel of Fortune.
Did you get her number?
No, I didn't get her number. I had my wife right there. What are you talking about?
Let me keep that to myself.
But no, if you go in the Cajun...
I would have said something, but I would bite my tongue.
If you go in the Cajun Canyon restaurant, right to the right of the bar, you're going to see that trophy. It looks like a damn Academy Award.
Yeah, it sure does.
It's a real trophy. It's like a marble and all that. Ain't no fake trophy. You know, you get fake trophies when you grow up and all that. You know, you play. Oh, okay, I was Little League. I was on the team, so I got a participation trophy. What in the hell are you keeping that for? You know, everybody got to feel like they accepted. Okay, I'm on the team, so I get a trophy. No, I might give you a ribbon, But I ain't giving you no damn trophy. To win a trophy, you got to do something. I mean, that's why, you know, everybody's, I'm on the team. So, look at the kids. Okay, well, what's the snack? What's the snack? And then, you know, we used to drink out of a damn hose pipe. the water then. Now, okay, Capri Sun. Give me a Capri Sun. And then, you know, I'll get a snack. Oh, you know?
Okay, we were talking about Arch Manning. One of the things was, Archie told me this. He actually sent me a picture. Arch comes back from Texas, and Archie said, where you want to go eat at? He said, Cajun Cannon Restaurant. And so Archie, yeah. Somebody took a picture of Red, old Arch, and little Arch at the Cajun Cannon Restaurant. But that's why he wanted to go eat. He said, Mike, this is where little Arch wanted to go eat.
He's smart. Yeah. Hey, he knows I'm going to Hey, I'm all for Arch. I mean, listen, that's the Kennedys of New Orleans. I mean, think about this. Archie, Peyton, Eli. Now, Cooper's the dad, but you look a little Arch. I'm telling you, you want to get the Saints fans pumped up? We thought this could never happen again. It's like the second coming of Reggie Bush. You know how we all thought about Reggie Bush? If Arch Manning would come to the Saints, I'm telling you, he ain't got to worry about selling tickets.
It'd be crazy.
There's going to be a waiting list.
Dave, Merry Christmas to you, everybody here at the Silver Slipper.
Too.
Thanks so much, and we'll be back with more Second Guess and Mark Schlaff right after this break.
Come on
here on
down.
The Big 870 WWL.
Come on down
to the Silver Slipper.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
It's James Kell from the Sleeper King Football Podcast. In fantasy football, sleepers can win you championships, and that's why I am here. Every episode is just 15 to 20 minutes long, every Tuesday through Friday. Subscribe to the Sleeper King Podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your pods.
We're back here on the Second Guest Show. Mike Dettelia along with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert, live at the Silver Slipper Casino Beachside right here in Hancock County, Mississippi. We're going to go back to our Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text line, and we're joined by our Odyssey NFL insider Mark Schlaff, host of the Stinkin' Truth podcast. Insider calls are brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. May your game day be delicious. Mark, thanks so much for joining us. Other than if you were a Packer fan last night, but it was kind of a waste of 3 hours. But I think what you saw last night was a team, Mark, and you and I have talked about this, they are a legitimate Super Bowl team that can get back to say New Orleans in February.
Oh yeah, I don't think there's any question. I mean, you look at the way they're number one, the way they're playing. They're turning the ball over on the defensive side of the ball. They're defending the run. They're top 10 in every run category that you could think of. They're top 10 in every rush category that you could think of offensively. They're turning the ball over, and right now their quarterback has quit turning the ball over. So he's not throwing interceptions. They're taking the ball away. They're running the ball and they're defending the run. And when it comes to playoff football, you control the line of scrimmage, you run the ball, you defend the run, you got a great chance to win every single game. So that's kind of where they are right now. And youngest team in football, playing exceptionally well right now, have a bunch of weapons. The Green Bay Packers are legit.
Thinking who's being legit, obviously the Chiefs, are they going to three-peat? But I don't know. Explain to me. I think there's a bunch of BS. Pat Mahomes got a high ankle sprain. There ain't no way a high ankle sprain is like a broke ankle. He might have an ankle sprain, but it ain't no high ankle sprain. I mean, I don't know. That's I guess just exaggerating and a lot of drama going there. But what's your take on that? It's like, because I'm thinking we have Bub Means. He has a legit high ankle sprain, receiver with the Saints at University of Pittsburgh. No, that's like 4 to 6 weeks. So when they say high ankle sprain, no, you couldn't run like Pat Mahomes ran if he had a high ankle sprain. I'm not saying his ankle wasn't, he didn't sprain it. But what's your take on that? To me, that was a bunch of BS.
Yeah, you know, I've had several over the course of my career, and it always happens when somebody falls on the side of your leg. And the way it was explained to me is the two bones in your leg, in your lower leg, like smash together, and when they separate, it rips all the tissue between the two bones. And it's really interesting because you can walk, and you don't have a limp, and it doesn't, like, there's not a lot of swelling, and it doesn't get black and blue. But if you touch your toe, your big toe, to the ground and rotate your foot a little bit, I had them re-x-ray me because I was like, there's no way my leg is not broken. Like, the pain is so intense, and it's so unbelievable. And so now I played through those because I used to get my leg shot up. But when you get your leg shot up there in your high ankle sprain area, your whole foot goes numb. And so, man, I could play that way. You know, I mean, I could get by as an offensive lineman. I'm not relying on necessarily athletic ability. But I'm sorry, if you're Patrick Mahomes or anybody else, you're not playing on a legit, like, really high ankle sprain. I'm 100% with you. But, you know, the drama is good. Everybody gets excited about it, you know, and it's the Chiefs and, you know, and oh, my God, they're going to three-peat. I hope not. From my mouth to God's ears, please no. I don't want to see the Chiefs in a Super Bowl again. And most of that's because I'm a Bronco. But anyhow, that's kind of where I'm at. But you and I are in lockstep on this one.
You know, Stegen, I'll look at, because everyone's always intrigued, who's the most valuable player? I mean, you look at Lamar Jackson, you look at Josh Allen, whoever might win the MVP. It's amazing to me that Lamar Jackson, he can win another MVP. I mean, he's playing at an unbelievable level. But it's going to be what he does in January. Then you got to look at the supporting cast and the argument you have there. But when I look at, like, the Bills and Josh Allen, when I look at Lamar Jackson, I guarantee he'd give up that MVP award if he could somehow have success in January. Come on.
I think either one.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, I'm with you guys. Like, he has not played well in the playoffs. He needs to, you know, exercise those demons. So, I mean, that's really what it comes down to. And, listen, he's playing exceptional football. But, you know, in all five of the losses, everybody says the same thing, and I've said it too. Listen, that's not the way you game plan, or that's not the way you should put together your game plan offensively. The game plan is, hey, have Lamar throw it 24 times a game, you know, or less, and then really lean into that running game. And so, yeah, it's hard for me to go, oh, he's the MVP, even though he's got unbelievable statistics. It's hard for me to go, he's the MVP, when the game plan is, make sure Derrick Henry leads your football team. Make sure you run. And when they don't do it that way, when Lamar's throwing it 30 or 40 times a game, they're losing those games. And so it's hard for me to go, yeah, he's the MVP, when everybody says, hey, from a game planning standpoint, you've got to minimize the passing game and you've got to lean into your run game. That's where they're successful in the pass game. So that's a real hard one for me. And, you know, kind of the, if you're on the Josh Allen, it's more with less, right? Everybody thought that they were going to be bad. They lost their receivers and Stephon Diggs and all that stuff. And yet here they are playing exceptional football, just like the Ravens did over the last couple of weeks since they came back from their bye week. And the one guy that we don't give any credit to that should get a ton of votes or a ton of looks or Saquon Barkley. I mean, that guy has the opportunity to set the all-time rushing record. And I know it's a different era, and I know, you know, the run game has been devalued, but that guy has been incredible. And even though it's 17 games now, if you can set the all-time record, don't you feel like that guy should get some love as far as the MVP of the league is concerned?
Yeah, no question about it, Mark. Inside of Calls with Mark Schlereffel, brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. You can purchase Hellman's at your local Walmart, Kroger, or grocery store to add extra deliciousness and creamy flavor to your game day dishes this football season, Bob.
I'm glad you brought that up because I'm on the same wavelength as you. And it's a copycat lead. Now, to me, there's a number of running backs by committee, whatever, but then there's elite running backs. And when I look, you mentioned Saquon Barkley. And you mentioned, Derrick Henry. When I look at those kind of cats and what they've been able to do, to me, going into next year's draft and all that, there's still, a market. Okay, can we control the line of scrimmage and run the ball to help out the quarterback? Because when I look what Saquon Barkley is doing and Derrick Henry, all I know is the Saints couldn't stop Josh Jacobs. That was the best thing. Like, nothing against Jones. That was the best thing, Aaron Jones. That was the best thing Green Bay did. The Raiders, to let Josh Jacobs go, Josh Jacobs is a freaking stud for the Packers. So when I look at that, you might say, well, the game has changed, but has it really changed when you're truly trying to win the game? I'm not saying make people excited or entertain them, but I still think you win up front and you can run the ball. It's all about trying to win a championship. And it seems like it's kind of going back a little bit in history where if you got that stud running back, I'm not saying like Billy Sims, Earl Campbell, or whatever, but it's kind of like that. Barry, who is that guy that is the workhorse of workhorse? I mean, I think you might see more teams coming up in the future, 2025, trying to copy, where those teams are at with those backs.
Guys, just think about it. Who really is going to get benefited by this? Ashton Jeanty.
Boise State, right.
Because I think a lot of teams would have said, I'm not picking him with a top 10 pick. I think today that's a different thought process because of what we're seeing this year.
You know, it's interesting you say it because you guys are 100% right. But then you have to get a coach that's committed to actually putting in a system that benefits the running back and that leans into the running game, and a coach that actually understands the value of running the football and what it does for your football team. And, you know, the problem is all the rules are bent to throwing the football. They're all designed to throw the football. And there's a lot of coaches that act like, oh, yeah, we want to run the football. And I've told you this before, man. I consulted with a team a couple of years ago that told me they really want to run the outside zone. They really want to be committed to the running game. And you know, my answer to them was, do you? And they were like, yeah, we really want to run the ball. I go, but do you? And they said, yes, we really want that, but do you? And yeah, that's why we hired you, come in here. And I said this, and I quote, what I hate about you as a play caller, and the guy's like, oh my God, here we go. What I hate about you is that you'll run the ball 3 or 4 times in a row for 2 yards a carry. You'll throw your hands up and you won't throw it and you won't run it again, but you'll let your crappy ass quarterback throw 7 incompletions in a row and you won't even think twice about it. And until you have a philosophy of, hey man, that was a 2 yard run, but that was a nasty, beneficial 2 yard run that is going to provide us with big time plays later on in this football game. And until you have that philosophy, until you have that kind of psychological approach to the running game, you'll never run the ball efficiently. And that's what those teams have that you're talking about. That's what the Philadelphia Eagles have. That's what the Baltimore Ravens have. That's what the Green Bay Packers have. And let me just tell you this. That's the stuff that wins you championships. That's the stuff that plays come playoff time.
Mark, the other thing, too, is as much as we talk about Sean McVay and him throwing the football all over the field, man, the best pickup they got, Kyren Williams from Notre Dame, the way he runs the ball. And then they use another early round pick on Blake Corum. Well, it's a little bitty running from Michigan, but you can see even Sean understands it, that you got to run the football. You just can't rely on Stafford throwing the ball all over the field. You got to be able to run it. And that's another team. I wouldn't want to see them in January because I think the Rams, even though they don't have every piece in place, they got enough to give you a really difficult time.
Yeah, there ain't no question. And, you know, Sean always talks about the illusion of complexity. and how we disguise our offense is a spread offense, but we're a power run football team. I mean, I've had the conversation sitting there with him, like just face to face. We're a power run football team. And it's funny, I'm doing a game in Minnesota, and Kevin O'Connell is the first year coach in Minnesota at the time. And he said, "Hey, man, I put up Monday Night Football, and I'm watching them." This is after we won a Super Bowl. I'm watching Monday Night Football, and the starting five offensive linemen that are playing for the Rams, and this is when they didn't go to the playoffs a couple of years ago. He goes, "The starting five offensive linemen playing for the Rams was our scout team at the Super Bowl." And, like, they did not – I mean, obviously, they didn't go to the playoffs. They didn't get it done. They really invested. You talk about the running back position, but they invested on that group up front. They totally revamped that offensive line, recreated that offensive line. Last year they go to the playoffs. They're fighting for a playoff team or playoff bid right now, and they are. They're a physical group, and Kyron Williams is just absolutely like a great running back, and they've got a really good running game. And that's kind of the little secret of Sean McVay. It's not about throwing the football. It's about how do we run the football? How do we control line of scrimmage? And that's what he's into. And, you know, he obviously grew up in the Mike Shanahan offense. So he understands running the football, and he's got a great feel for what it takes to be successful in the National Football League, especially come playoff time.
Now, Stink, when you look at who has surprised you, and it might be somewhat a surprise, but they got to go out and do it. In the AFC and the NFC, I look at, because I'm a Jim Harbaugh fan, when I played with the Michigan Panthers, and we won that championship in 83 in the USFL. I remember we were winning, so the Lions didn't let us use their facilities. So Anthony Carter, AC, had to call up Bo Schembechler, and then so we could practice at University of Michigan. And Jim Harbaugh was their coach. So I met Jim Harbaugh a long time ago. Then I met, through Jim, I met John. But what Jim Harbaugh has done with the Chargers, and obviously I'm familiar with Sean Payton in Denver like you are, but who has impressed you in the AFC, and then who would you say in the NFC? I'd say O'Connell, you think with the Vikings, or who, not that, because he'd be coach of the year, but who has come out like, whoa, and look at Sam Darnold. I mean, are you franchise tag him? Hell yeah, he's a $40 million quarterback. Look what he's done. I know Justin Jefferson loves him. But what's your take when you look at maybe who surprised you and how quickly maybe they've turned around? Because Sean, it wasn't so good that first year. You know, he wasn't going to let Russ cook. But what he's done with Bo Nix. But you look at that AFC West, just break that down when you look at the AFC NFC.
Mark made the call on this show about Sam Darnold. Last December, whoever picks him up, they have got a legitimate guy that is a top-flight quarterback. Mark Schlaff was the only guy that I've heard made that comment. So, Mark, I'm going to throw that in. I'll let you answer the question. But I remember you telling me that last December.
And you know, Mark, you need to bring that up on Breakfast Ball. you got to humble those
people.
You got to bring that up to humble them.
Yeah. Hey, listen, you know, what Minnesota has done has been absolutely unreal. You know, Detroit has been my number one team all season long. With 16 guys going on the IR, you know, on the defensive side of the ball, that's just a huge one to overcome. Offensively, as you guys know, they're exceptional. I think right now in the NFC, I think Philly, like top to bottom, is probably the best team in football, you know, even regardless of that loss. I mean, like, you look at what happened. They turned the ball over. They turned over Washington five times and had over 200 yards rushing. And in the history of the National Football League, a team that turns the other team over five times and has over 200 yards rushing is like 236-6. I mean, it just doesn't happen, right? It's just crazy. That game was crazy. I still think Philly is really, really good. I think the NFC is pretty loaded right now with really good teams. I think, you know, obviously the Kansas City Chiefs being 14-1, and man, it just sickens me that right now they start to. I mean, it looks like they're getting their offense together. They got Hollywood Brown back last week. You know, Worthy is starting to come around a little bit, and then to go to your fourth left tackle, you guys. and make it your starting all-pro guard and say, hey, you know what, we're going to move you from left guard out to left tackle, and we're going to have you out there. And, oh, by the way, you're going to be lined up against Will Anderson and Danielle Hunter. Good luck. And to have that guy go out there and solidify the left tackle position. And, you know, think about this. Mahomes has been one of the most hit quarterbacks in football. They gave up 4 hits on Sunday. It just is unbelievable. Then Buffalo, what they're doing. Those are the two teams, obviously, and they've been the two best teams in the AFC all season long. I'm with you on the Chargers, though. The Chargers, the physicality, if they can get going offensively, and they did that against a really good Bronco defense where all of a sudden Ladd McConkey is making plays. They've got a couple other wide receivers that are starting to kind of come into form that were struggling earlier in the year. So I look at that like, man, that could be a really good formula because I know Jim Harbaugh well, and I know they're going to dominate the line of scrimmage. They're going to run the football.
Mark, thanks so much for joining us. I want to wish you, family, a Merry Christmas and have a great day tomorrow. But we appreciate you joining us here on Christmas Eve.
Well, and Mark, do you have any time off? Man, it seems like you're working more the older you get. I mean, it's unbelievable your schedule.
I'm going to go home Friday, so I'm just going to sit here and watch football tomorrow in my little apartment in New York. Then I'm going back to Colorado on Friday because I got a couple more shows to do. But it's all good, man. You know how football season works. So when it's man, regardless of the holiday, it's football season, man. And when you work, you work. So not a big deal.
Amen, Mark.
Thank you, Mark. Appreciate it.
All right, Stink.
It. All right, guys. Be good.
All right. That was Odyssey NFL Insider Mark Schlereff, host of the Stinkin' Truth podcast. Insider calls are brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. May your game day be delicious. We'll be back with more Second Guess right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL. Back here on the Second Guess Show, Mike Dettelle along with the Cajun Cannon Bobby Hebert at the Silver Slipper Casino Beachside right here in Hancock County, Mississippi. Tomorrow, right here on the Big 870, we'll be bringing you exciting NFL Christmas football starting at 11:30. First up, the Kansas City Chiefs play the Pittsburgh Steelers, and then at 3:30 is the Baltimore Ravens playing the Houston Texans. While you're traveling from party to party or moving around here and there tomorrow, catch top-notch NFL action right here on the Big 870 WWL and free on the Odyssey app. We'll come back to finish it up here in hour number two on Second Guess after this break here on the Big 870 WWL.
And, Mike, I have a tease, Charlie, and all coming up because I'm glad you brought that up. I'm going to tell you why the NFL could care less about, Christmas Day, that's the NBA's day. The NFL said not so fast.
Back here on the Second Guess Show, finishing up hour number two, Mike Dettelle along with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert, will be here until 8 o'clock tonight. Bob, in some scheduling that changed a year ago,
yep.
But the NFL has basically stuck the middle fingers, both of them, at the NBA and say, okay, we got you now. You don't own Christmas Day anymore.
Well, no, Mike, the bottom line is NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell said, this is when asked about the league's new 3-year Netflix deal that this year adds Wednesday games. Think, okay, we got Thursday, now we got Wednesday games, and Christmas is on Wednesday. But he said, our job is to be everywhere our fans are. So that stands to reason. He looks at Netflix. He says they have almost 300 million global subscribers. We are obviously focused on becoming more global. So it's a huge benefit to us. And that deal is why the league, that being the NFL, has scheduled and played games on Christmas for years. They played on Christmas. I remember when the the Dolphins.
The longest game ever.
Against the Dolphins and the Chiefs.
Yep. That was many years ago.
That was in the early
70s.
Yeah. When the number 14, what was his name?
Ed Podolak.
Ed Podolak. Yes. And Hank Stram was part of that. But that deal is why the league has scheduled and played games on Christmas for years. We'll be playing not one, but like you were saying earlier, but you advertised that, but 2 games on Christmas when defending Super Bowl champion Kansas City visits Pittsburgh as part of the holiday doubleheader. Then you cap by, that's all playoff teams, Baltimore at Houston. Now, this is crazy, that when you look at it, the difference is this will be only the third time the NFL has played on a Wednesday since 1950. The only third time they've played on a Wednesday. It depends how the holiday falls and all that. It's only the third time they've played on a Wednesday since 1950. But you know how you can't get enough of Chiefs? They're trying to three-peat. Now, you might not agree with that, but you look at the Chiefs right now. Tuesday is the only day the Chiefs won't play a game this season. Technically, that's the long day off for the NFL players. When you play Sunday games, they give you Tuesday off. You come in Monday, you watch film, you get treatment, they give you Tuesday off. You know, Sunday to Sunday to Sunday. But when you think about this, right now, the Chiefs are playing on Sunday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, except for Tuesday.